The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Again to the left, and there he goes again! Jacobs to the 30-yard line. Gain of 19 on that one. Inside, into the end zone. Wow. Opening drive, touchdown, Green Bay. Third and four. Geno contracting pocket, he goes down.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Love looking inside, it is caught by Dodge. Romeo Dodge to the end zone. Packers back in the end zone.
Love is 8 of 8 to start. Now going downfield towards Christian Watson. Brought it in, got the feet inbound. 25-yard line. Terrific gain of 35 to Watson, who's had a ton of big hits in the last month and a half. High snap. He's got it. Pressure's coming. Gets rid of it to the back of the end zone. That time it is intercepted by Valentine.
And he is. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Brought down at the 14-yard line by Smith and Jigba. Third and five. Love putting it up top. Back of the end zone. Oh, did Dobbs catch that? What a catch, Romeo Dobbs! Touchdown, Green Bay! What a catch!
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All studios with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Packers fans, 30-13, the final score yesterday. Packers over the Seahawks last night on Sunday Night Football. It is true. I was waiting all day for Sunday night. I was waiting all day. You know, the anxiety, the anticipation, just building and building. And you're watching these other games shake out over the course of the day, over the course of the week, and going, gosh, Packers, Seahawks could be a tough game. Man, they're playing really well. Geno Smith is playing well. The Seahawks seem to be on an upward trajectory. Can the Packers go into a hostile environment when one you know is one of the toughest places to play in the league because of the 12th man and the way that that stadium captures the sound and keeps it in and reverbs it right back onto the field? And the answer is yes. Not only could they beat the Seahawks, and of course, Geno Smith going out with an injury had a little bit to do with that in the second half, but put up another 30-point game to improve their schedule to 10-4. And today, Gabe Neitzel, as we sit here and reflect on a game, on a win for the green and gold, I feel like, despite not playing their best game, despite taking their foot off the gas, despite sitting there and maybe making us scratch our heads a little bit, particularly in the second half, I feel very good about this Green Bay Packers team headed into the final few games of the regular season and headed into the postseason because untapped potential. There is still an opportunity for this team to get better, to be better, to beat teams, and I feel like it's bubbling under the surface. It's right there. It's just, they just need to uncap it. They just need to uncork it. They can do it. I feel very optimistic that over the course of the next few regular season games and into a playoff run, they will show us the best version of themselves. Do you agree?
I don't. Look, last night was a good win. I'm not taking anything away. Going into Seattle, they haven't won there since 2008. Pro Brian Bulaga, like, just kept getting reminded that he was 0-4 as a Packer in Seattle during Green Bay game day yesterday. And look, you put up 30 points on the road against a defense that had been playing really well. You dominated the first half. But because of what happened in the second half, I feel exactly the same about this team.
Which is what?
They're good. There are teams that are a lot better. When you take a look at the NFC right now, I think you have that upper echelon of, now it's probably Philly on top because of the loss that Detroit had. But still, Philly's on top. Detroit's right there with them. Like, Minnesota's got to be up there. At some point, we just have to accept that maybe Minnesota's really good. And then there's kind of all these teams that have these blemishes and imperfections and haven't been playing as well as those teams, and the Packers just kind of fall in that group.
Ooh, speaking of blemishes, I can see on the YouTube stream the pimple patch I'm wearing here. I thought for sure it was going to blend right into the old skin, but
it did not.
I'm looking at the YouTube stream. Remember, you can always stream the show on YouTube, ESPN Milwaukee. It's a little more obvious than I was hoping, but I digress. You said blemish, and it was like the perfect symmetry of, ooh, pimple patch showing up on the stream. Awesome. Wore a lot of makeup over the last few days, just so you know, like a lot of makeup
that's
on
what
Wednesday,
it is.
A lot of makeup on Thursday. Yeah, you wear the makeup and your skin can't breathe, and you get a little something on there and
well, can you talk about where you were on Wednesday?
We will. Okay. As the show goes on. I don't want to deviate too far.
I just wanted to make sure there was no like, oh, you can't talk about it until like it comes out type of thing.
We can talk about it. I'll talk about it a little bit later in the show. Where Jen was, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego on Wednesday? So one thing I want to point to, Gabe, is the fast start. We had been critical about this team, talking about like, hello, could you set the alarm maybe for an hour earlier, Packers? Why does it seem like it takes Jordan Love an entire half of football to start playing his best ball? Well, the Packers went out there, boom, right away. They took the ball. They wanted the ball. They go down and score. First two drives of the game were able to, and then they had the defensive stop. So on both sides of the ball, it was like, okay, this is the Packers team that we need to see, that we hope to see if they want to make a deep playoff run. You cannot be idle early. You cannot give away those drives. You have to put the ball in the end zone or at least put the ball in the uprights. And Josh Jacobs, he gets better each week. Now, again, the criticism will be, why did they take their foot off the gas? Why all of a sudden, after what was working so well, and maybe I would argue, I felt like the game was in hand. As soon as Geno Smith went out, Gabe, I felt like this is a foregone conclusion. I'm sorry. It wasn't as soon as.
Yeah.
I allowed Sam Howell to show me something.
Well, I mean, he did score a touchdown and made it 23-13.
Yes. But before that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how many, I think he had like 24 total yards or something ridiculous
like
that.
Yeah, he's 5 of 14 for 24 yards.
24 yards. I had 24 yards this season on the football field that I was on this week, okay? I had 24 yards. So it's all of those things that I really want to highlight and say, we have been critical about the slow starts. They went out there and did that. The goal will be going forward to start putting those things together, to start putting together a fast start and not turning the ball over and sticking with the run and keeping your foot on the gas and. But we're not to the point yet, Gabe, where not doing that can hurt you because it hasn't yet. It could, but it hasn't yet.
It's hurt you to the point of you're going to be a wild card team. Like there are three teams that are that are vying for, you know, the number one overall seed, the Vikings being one of them. The Packers are not in that conversation. So it's hurt you to the point of, not hurting you from keeping you out of the postseason, but it's made your path tougher because you haven't been able to put those things together. And look, I mean, you had the 7 sacks last night. Like, there are a lot of good things, but and it's probably just one or the other if like one of the three bad things doesn't happen. If Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love don't Matt Eberflus their way through that final drive in the second half or the first half, I mean, they got lucky with the pass interference call. They got lucky to walk away from points. Although even with the pass interference call, would have been nice if, you know, you had an extra 10 seconds there to maybe take a shot at the end zone instead of settling for the field goal. So that stunk. If you didn't have the fumble by Jacobs, if you didn't go punt, fumble, punt, field goal, turnover on downs, like the way Jordan Love started great. Yes, fantastic. Finished 3 for 9. Like, you can't have a 3 for 9 stretch at all. You can't have those stretches anywhere. And if you just take one away, one of these, you know, negative things that happened, you probably feel better. If the Edgerrin Cooper interception happens in the third quarter versus the fourth quarter, and you go in with 30 points into the fourth quarter, I understand taking your foot off the gas a little bit. But taking your foot off the gas in the third quarter and being as disjointed offensively as they were, like, those things just cannot happen when you're playing better teams.
Yeah, Edgerrin Cooper, let's just take a moment to give him his flowers. Rookie linebacker who had missed the last three games with the hamstring injury. Finished with 5 tackles, a sack, 2 quarterback hits, 2 passes defended, and for his first career interception, that according to Packers.com. And I will agree with you, but it was those sort of things. It was Edgerrin Cooper being back and making an impact. It was Quay Walker making an impact. It was...
We'll see if he can make an impact going forward.
Right, because he was injured in the game. We'll see how that shakes out. It was Romeo Doubs coming back from the concussion protocol when there was a point this week, Gabe, where I wasn't sure if he was going to.
Yeah.
Right? We had talked about, is he going to miss, I believe, a third straight game? He was wearing the Guardian helmet. Obviously, he's trying to protect himself going forward. The drop in the end zone was the only incompletion through three quarters for Jordan Love. He was really, really good. So there were a lot of things to feel very confident about, to feel good about with this team. No one is going to play a perfect game in the NFL. So there are always going to be things where you're like, I wish I had that back. And I think to your point, that stretch of game is probably one that Matt LaFleur is going to say, I wish I had it back. But when you can win the game against an NFC opponent who in their own right was still climbing in the division and still trying to make hay in the NFC, still trying to improve their postseason seed, I walk out of Seattle, of Lumen, feeling very good about it. I feel good because I still feel like, no, they didn't play perfect, and no, they haven't reached their full potential, but I see it there, and I'm confident that they can over the next few games.
But why would you? This is the same stuff we've been talking about all season. But I think this is just kind of who they are.
But wait a minute. Before yesterday's game, they were a team that started slow, that gave up possessions early on. Yesterday, they started fast. They capitalized on those possessions. So that improvement right there in that phase gives me optimism, gives me confidence that the things they focus on, they can get better at in the last few games and then to the tune of a playoff run.
But then something else is going to fall off.
Maybe.
Because again, this is still the youngest team in the league. It's just so hard to get all of those things going in that right direction. It's just a young team that you can be really excited about for the future. And yeah, they've got some ping pong balls, as Chewy likes to say, in the tumbler, you know, when you hit the playoffs. But I just don't know if this is going to be a team that fully realizes that potential this year. I think it's more of a team that's going to fully realize that potential next year.
800-990-3776. I am very optimistic and confident after yesterday's game, after seeing things that the Packers needed to work on and then were able to put together and do well on yesterday. Let's just focus right now for specifically on the fast start, getting out there, putting points on the board early, sending a message, setting the tone. That's one thing that we had been critical of. That's one thing that they addressed. Reaction is rolling in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. 800-990-3776. John in the 414 says, another game where Matt LaFleur uses a challenge when there is no need to use the challenge. There was nothing to gain from using a challenge, only using a timeout. Why, oh, why, Gabe?
I think my favorite tweet about that came from our pal Justice Mosqueda from Acme Packing Company, saying that he believes that Matt LaFleur should have to use a two-factor authentication system to throw the challenge.
Oh, like when I log into my Disney account,
yes.
It's like, are you really you?
Yes.
Or sending a code to your phone?
Correct.
Put the code in.
Because Matt LaFleur is now 0 for 6 on challenges this year.
I saw that. That is bad. They said 0 for 5, and then we were waiting, and we were waiting, and then they went to break, and then they came back for break, and they sort of just slid it in there, didn't they? They sort of slid it into the broadcast. Well,
if
they
you weren't
lost
paying
that
attention,
challenge.
Yeah.
Matt LaFleur 0 for 6.
We're just gonna move on. We're going to pretend like this didn't happen.
800-990-3776. I'm worried, though, Gabe, because you take so much joy and pleasure out of being a Packers fan.
Mm-hmm.
Born and raised here in Wisconsin, you have always supported and rooted for this team. You have an encyclopedic knowledge of this team. Is there something that you have seen in the history of the Packers that is making you feel like, look, they're a good team, they're not a great team, they're not going to get over the hump, they'll win a few games in the postseason, but ultimately they will lose and disappoint us again? Is there something that is making you feel that way?
But I don't think it's going to be disappoint us, because I look at this team very similar, and I've made the comparisons to some of the younger teams that Chewy was on, and the steps that they had to take. Like, last year, it stung, but it wasn't as disappointing when they lost to the 49ers, right? It just wasn't as disappointing. Like, you were right there in the game, you felt like you had the opportunity, but it's not like that went on the pantheon of, oh man, these losses really stink in the postseason. And I think that's kind of the way I feel about this team. Like, yeah, they've got opportunities, but I don't know if they are good enough to go represent the NFC in the Super Bowl unless some things break their way. So because it's still a young team that is growing, that is the youngest team in the NFL, I don't have these, oh man, Super Bowl or bust expectations for this team.
800-990-3776, reaction rolling in fast and furious on the YouTube page. Lots of people are watching the YouTube stream this morning. Jake says, Love is on one. 20 of 27, Watson drop and Reed slips. He's in his Toyota-thon bag. We should look at the Toyota-thon numbers. Why do you sigh? Look at you. I can see it in your face. You rolled your eyes very dramatically. I saw the whites of your eyes there as I mentioned Toyota-thon.
Well, because Toyota-thon ends in January. If this thing is real, which I'm scary that it is, because the last five games during Toyota-thon, shout out to Will for putting these together for us, 79 of 115, 68.7% completion, 1,133 yards, eight touchdowns, one pick, and almost a passer rating of 120.
And a partridge in a pear tree, like, just for the season.
But again, if he turns into a pumpkin after Toyota-thon, like, we need to start petitioning the fine folks over at Toyota that they need to extend Toyota-thon until the middle of February.
That's not a bad idea. We might be able to convince them that that would benefit them as well as potentially the franchise in Green Bay. 800-990-3776. They won a tough game on the road against a playoff team in the Seattle Seahawks. They put up 30 points again, which, by the way, when they ask us for the predictions now, I never go under 30. I never go under 30 for this Packers team because they always consistently, it feels like, are putting up 30 points per game. So from now on, when they ask for our prediction, it will always be 30, 31, 32, 35 for the green and gold. Let's go out to Mo in Illinois. He agrees with Gabe that this Packers team is too inconsistent. Good morning, Mo.
Hi, good morning, guys. First off, happy Victory Monday. I want to make one thing clear. To win in this league is very difficult, especially a place like Seattle. Mm-hmm. So I'm still very excited with the Packers and happy that they were able to pull it off. But I do agree with Gabe because for so long we have been talking about the same thing, how this team is not putting together a consistent four-quarter game. And, you know, the first half looked fantastic. But then I guess why I'm still feeling a little concerned is because of the second half, the way they finished, in particular Matt LaFleur. I love Matt LaFleur. I think he's one of the best coaches in the NFL. But yesterday was pathetic, especially in the second half. I thought he called the game very scared. The Seahawks were going all out and trying to stop Josh Jacobs, and he didn't adjust to that. And you have, like you guys just mentioned, Toyota found Jordan Love, who has been on a tear lately, playing great. And it's like, use your quarterback. Use him. The guy could throw the ball. I mean, it's not illegal to call throwing plays or play actions under center. So I would say that's what really bugged me the most, especially that end of first half sequence where he just melted the clock. I'm not sure if he brought in, like, Eberflus as a consultant this week, because that was really, really bad. So I think this team does have untapped potential, but like Gabe said, you got the Lions and Eagles there who have shown you what they could do. So I'm looking for that Vikings game in 2 weeks. If the Packers could win that one, I have that game circled on my calendar. That'll show us a lot.
800-990-3776. Thanks for the call, Mo. Daniel the Sloth says, I'm still very optimistic. Did they play better than I thought yesterday? Yes, but they played one good half. That's all. And Cody in the 708 says, Jen, every team in the Packers tier thinks they have untapped potential. I agree with Gabe. Sometimes that potential doesn't get uncorked. Nobody's going to play a perfect game. There are no perfect games, perfect passer ratings. Every time you blitz, you get to the quarterback. Every time you go up for a 50-50 ball, you either intercept. I mean, like, there's no such thing as a perfect game. So to me, I'm seeing a lot of good things from this Green Bay Packers team. And I do think they took their foot off the gas when Geno Smith went out. I know you're going to say, well, it's the end of the first half. Geno Smith wasn't out yet. I think they took their foot off the gas a little bit. I think they were content with accepting that it was a foregone conclusion. They would win that game so long as Sam Howell was under center for the Seahawks. And I think they were like, pack it up, pack it in, get back to Green Bay with a win. I did not expect that to rhyme, but it did. 800-990-3776. Lots of reaction rolling in. Some people frustrated with Gabe. I am seeing Johnny Raincloud on the talk and text line. Let's talk to Jason Wilde. He's coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Ask Jason Wilde what he thinks about what he saw from the green and gold last night on a Victory Monday on 94.5 ESPN.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers.
Packers all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jason Wilde on a Monday. Changing it up a little here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Playing the role of Rob Domofsky on today's edition of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy will be Jason Wilde.
That's a very good narration. That was very good.
I try.
I was thinking about you yesterday because we went to the Nutcracker, and I was like, Maddie Wilde has done the Nutcracker. I know she has. I don't think she's doing it this year, right, Jason? She was dealing with some injuries. Is that correct?
Well, so not that everyone's interested in Maddie's career trajectory, but
don't
care it anyway. So she was actually selected for their academy program, which is one step below being a professional ballet dancer. And it would have required us, instead of being down there three nights a week, five nights a week. And she's a freshman this year. And she made a very grown-up decision that her father would not have been able to do. And that was, I want to be a regular high schooler, and I'm going to give this up, even though I have a passion for it. And maybe I'll come back to it, maybe I won't. But I think I'm going through more Nutcracker withdrawal than her. So she's really happy, and I miss going down there and getting all gussied up and heading down to the Marcus Center and seeing Michael Pink's production. So she's extremely happy, which is obviously the most important thing to me.
Love that, Jason. And I appreciate that update, even though you were reluctant to share. I love hearing those little nuggets and tidbits from the Wilde household. All right, let's get to the green and gold. So I am optimistic still that this Packers team, which put up 30 points on a conference rival in a very tough place to play, albeit a team that lost its starting quarterback in the game and was resigned to using Sam Howell, which 24 yards, wow. I'm still confident that this team's untapped potential will be uncorked over the remaining regular season games and postseason games. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Yeah, I don't think I can do that. I think there are certainly reasons for optimism, right? Now, if you want to ding them and continue if you're inclined to be this way, there's certainly stuff to work with, right? I mean, that offensive line had been struggling, and then they lose the center who, as you heard Chris Collinsworth talk about, had kind of been the steadying force during their four-game winning streak. They lose him early in the game. They're playing an undrafted free agent in his place. Sam Wow-ol, how bad he was, certainly helps.
I saw somebody call him No-well. Instead of H-O, it was N-O.
Yeah, he was not great, Bob. But I thought it was a complete performance. I thought they went in there and did exactly what they wanted to do. I mean, they took control of the game from the jump, and before you could get to the second commercial break, it was 14-0. So, you know, Gabe and I and John Anderson and Brian Bulaga and Strolf were talking about this on Green Bay game day pregame. Like, all the talk about not having a signature win or a defining win, you know, this is a defining win. Not only did they show what they're capable of, but now, like, if the season ended today, they also knocked the Seahawks out of the playoffs. So I just think that this is exactly what you were hoping they would do. I understand there were some second half, you know, offensive
lulls. So punt, field goal, punt, fumble, punt, downs, that's a complete game?
Wait, you know what you sound like when you say that? Did you ever see that clip with Timothy Chalamet when he's doing the rap on SNL and he's like, cling, 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 water, hold up, splash? You ever see that? Darn,
I did not,
find that. Okay, sorry. Can you repeat it again?
Punt, field goal, punt, fumble, punt, downs.
Yeah.
That's what they did. What they did in the second half.
Are you overtired, or are you just super critical?
No, I'm just, Jason, I don't feel better or worse about this team. I feel the same. I don't think that they're among the elite teams in the NFC. I think they're a very good team. They'll have an opportunity to beat, you know, some of these teams. But they, I put them in the same category as, I bet Tampa Bay is saying the same things about their team this morning. I think the Rams are saying the same thing about their team this morning. And those are the teams that they're going to have to play. Like, they, the first half was spectacular until you got to the end of the first half and Matt Eberflus'd his way through time management. But
yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, like, again, there were things that were bad about it, Jason, and these are the things that if you think they are a Super Bowl-caliber team, these are the things that are going to prevent you from being a Super Bowl-caliber team. So if we're going to have Super Bowl-caliber expectations, then I have to be that critical of it.
Yeah, I don't have Super Bowl-caliber expectations, though. Like, I've been saying from the beginning of training camp, and I thought they were a year away.
Yeah,
I'm
right there with
that.
You. I'm 100% there with you. Like, I think that they, so this potential that you and Jen are talking about, I think that because they're the youngest team in the league, you have things like this happen. You know, you have Jordan Love start whatever he was, 17 of 18, and then finish 3 for 9. Right? Like, you're going to have those inconsistencies when you're the youngest team in the league, and that's why I think that the potential that's bubbling under the surface, I don't know if that gets realized in 2024. I think it gets realized in 2025.
Yeah, I think, all right, let me take a deep breath for a second. I think you and I think more alike than initially revealed by the punt, field goal, fumble, whatever that was.
Punt, field goal, punt, fumble, punt, downs.
But I would also say this. I think when you look at what they did defensively, even when Geno Smith was still in the game, when you look at what they did offensively in the first half, when you look at what they did kind of close things out when things got a little interesting because of the punt, fumble, field goal, whatever that was again, I'm not going to ask you to repeat it again. I thought that they played at a level that they needed to show me that they're not a Super Bowl contender, but a legit playoff team that hasn't just gotten fat on arguably two of the worst divisions in football, right?
Mm-hmm.
They swept the AFC South and they swept the NFC West, right?
Correct.
And so that's 8 wins out of their 10. So again, do I think that they are going to win Super Bowl 59? I do not. But you know what also stops Super Bowl teams? Overly aggressive head coaches who try onside kicks. Dysfunction on the sideline where a defensive line coach is telling the head coach he can't talk to one of his players or whatever the hell that was that the Eagles had going on yesterday. Like, everyone is flawed. Who is best able to overcome their flaws? I don't think that the Packers are completely incapable of winning a couple of playoff games and getting to an NFC championship game. But if you're asking me, can they beat, Tampa Bay or the Rams? I think they can. I'm not going to predict that they're going to, though.
Yeah.
Because you're right. They're in the same, you know, we were talking yesterday, I kind of said about the tiers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Philly and Detroit are tier one. I think Minnesota is like tier 2A, and then tier 2B is Packers, Buccaneers, Rams, maybe the Seahawks. Like, they are definitely a notch below the two teams that are clearly better than them. And can they go on a 3-game run where they beat either the Rams or the Buccaneers, then they beat the Lions, and then they beat the Eagles to get to the Super Bowl? I don't think they can, but I never put that as my expectation to begin with.
Well, and I think also, Jason, like, they've lost to the top-tier teams, right? The 4 losses this season are to the Eagles, the Vikings, the Lions, and the Lions. They lost to the mm-hmm. Eagles by 5. They lost to the Vikings by 4. They lost to the Lions the 10-point game, which, you know, was earlier in Week 9. And then they lost by 3 points to the Lions. They are right there. And I said mm-hmm. to Gabe, the fact that we were critical about their slow starts, and why can't Jordan Love just start the game on fire? Why does it take him a whole half to warm up. And they went out there last night, and it was almost like they focused on that, maybe exclusively, but to the point of they knew they needed to start fast. They went out there, started fast. That, to me, shows they have the potential and capability to address the things that have plagued them. Now it's a matter of just putting them all together. That is what is giving me optimism that this team can not only hang with the top teams, but can beat the top teams in the NFC. That's where I am this morning.
Yeah, and do I think that they could win one of those games? Could they beat the Lions on any given Sunday in playoffs or beat the Eagles? Absolutely. Do I think they can beat them both and win a first-round game? No, I don't think they're there yet. And you know what? That's okay.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
But they are definitely headed in a much better direction than when they were eking out a win against the Bears and their dysfunctional operation. And you look back at, and again, I understand, like, I'm not here to be Mary Sunshine. I'm not here to be Debbie Downer. But look, there's plenty to ding them for still, including the fact that they have 40 sacks on the season now, and 15 of them have come in two
in
games.
Two games. So that's what I want to ask you about, Jason. So 7 sacks last night, is that more like the aberration that the 8-sack game against the Titans was, or is that defensive front starting to turn a corner?
Yes. Right? Like, it can be both. And here's the other thing, right? Because, look, Sam Howell, who only old people like me were thinking about Thurston Howell III on Gilligan's Island, but he helped the Packers pass rush. And the Packers clearly smelled blood in the water and got after him in an enormous way, right? Like, once Geno Smith left the game, you can do your punt, field goal, fumble, punt, whatever that routine was. They weren't going to lose then, right? Even when they cut it to 23-13 after the fumble by Jacobs, like, they were not in true danger there. But I thought we saw some things from Jeff Hafley, and LaFleur made a comment after the game. One of the things that I really like about Jeff Hafley, he's not infallible. He is not the second coming of Fritz Schirmer. But I love the fact that when something isn't working, he figures out something else to do. Because under the last administration, it was, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing and hope it starts working, right? And he does not do that. Like, he has definitely, he did not send 5 constantly last night. He stuck to his simulated pressure, then 3, and then some other rando as the 4th rusher, but it worked. They obviously need Edger and Cooper more than even I realized, because he was a field-tilting player last night. But again, I think the pieces are there for them to be a good defense. Are they a great defense? No, but it would appear, based on what I saw with Rams, Bills last week, and Lions, Bills this week, that you can be pretty competitive with the top teams in the conference if you can score points and you can get a handful of stops. And that would be where your routine about their empty possessions or their non-touchdown possessions would be very valid. Because if they have to get into a shootout, if they play the Rams in their playoff opener, if they play the Lions at some point down the road, that's where are they capable of going points for points. And they kind of did it against Detroit, but as we talked about after that game, they had 3 empty possessions to start the game, and that turned out being the difference in the game.
Matt LaFleur saying it felt disjointed in the second half. There were opportunities that they didn't capitalize on. Some of it was execution, and some of it was terrible play calling, sort of putting the spotlight on himself. Before we let you go, Jason, I do want to introduce you to, I do want to give you the opportunity to hear the Timothée Chalamet clip that I was talking about earlier. And what we're going to try to do is put Gabe's thing, punt, fumble, punt, field goal, punt,
that's
field goal,
first of
field
all,
goal.
That's not my
thing. I know,
thing.
It's, but you did bring it up. So here
what
Will,
they did.
Will has found the Timothée Chalamet song from Saturday Night Live. Go ahead and play it for us, Will.
Man, you capping.
Punt, fumble, punt, field goal, punt, field goal.
Here we go.
Punt, fumble, punt, field goal, punt, field goal.
Water, splash, splash, drip, water.
And at the end of there, one of the other characters bends Timothy Chalamet over and spanks him for that performance. So he was...
Ooh, is that coming up next on Jen Gaming?
Do you have the cameras in the studio, I suppose?
Punt, bumble, punt, field goal, punt, field goal, field goal, right? You hear what I'm saying there, right? When he's doing drip, drip, water, splash, splash, water, drip, drip. Well, Mary Sunshine joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy to go along with Johnny Raincloud. We've got quite the cast of characters here this morning. Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. We will talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me. Take care. Be good.
That was excellent. That was fantastic.
It is a Victory Monday. It's brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza. Delicious brands like Connie's Urban Pie, Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer.
Love is 8 of 8 to start. Now going downfield towards Christian Watson. Brought it in. Got the feet inbounds at the 25-yard line. Terrific gain of 35 to Watson, who's had a ton of big hits in the last month and a half. But they never
seemed to close. There was a long stretch of yesterday's game where the only incompletion was that pass to Romeo Doubs in the end zone. Probably should have been a catch, should have been a touchdown. And Jordan Love was cooking. But he finished the game 20 of 27, and there is this sentiment of taking the foot off the gas. Doesn't bother me. I feel like as soon as the starting quarterback went out, it was like, just get out of Dodge. You got the win. But, Gabe, it got too close for comfort for you. Is that right?
Yeah, 23-13. You turn the ball over once. Okay, you know, you turn it over again. They show they can capitalize. Next thing you know, it's 23-20.
We were playing a game at our house where we were trying to guess how many yards the Seahawks would get on each individual drive. Dario guessed -3. And he won on one of the drives. That's how futile the offense was with Sam Howell under center. He went 5 of 14 for 24. That's right, 24 yards. If you had to guess what his quarterback rating was.
Oh, I already know.
You do? You got the box score there in front of you?
Yeah, I was looking this morning.
3.3.
Yeah, that was the QBR, yes.
Yes, and then his passer rating was 14.6.
Correct. That catch by Christian Watson that we just heard the highlight from, that was the best catch of his career.
It was great.
That was the best catch of his career. For somebody that we have been critical of body control and 50-50 balls and he can't really do anything but run straight, to be able to flip his body the way he did to make that catch and get both feet down, that was spectacular.
Well, and then later in the game, guys, when he took that big hit, right? There was a stretch.
I was very nervous after he took the big hit.
As you should have been because of what we have seen from Christian Watson. But he takes that big hit. Boom! And I was like, oh no.
How many injuries is he going to be listed with?
How many games is he going to miss? And it was like, boom, popped right back up, you know? And that's where I was like, okay, like again, there's an evolution. There is progress. This team is getting better. I feel very good about their ability to hang with these top tier teams. Now, we're going to get to this, so I don't want to uncork the whole thing, but there's a big game tonight. There's a big game tonight, Monday Night Football in the division, Vikings versus Bears. Are we all in agreement, Gabe? And intern Will, who's handling the board today, are we all in agreement that we are rooting for the Bears? Are we rooting for the Bears?
Yes.
Today?
We don't have to say it out loud.
I'm a Bears fan.
That's why
fan.
I keep whispering it.
We could just say, hey,
we're not rooting for the Vikings.
Correct.
How's that?
Thank you. Thank you. I was about to say, there's got to be a better way we can put this. We are not rooting for the Vikings tonight. We are rooting for the Vikings to lose tonight. That's what we are doing. The Vikings should lose.
Now,
that's what we want.
Just out of curiosity and just for logistics, who would they lose to if they were
Doesn't matter.
The other team.
Whoever they happen to be playing.
The Vikings are playing tonight. This is weird, strange bedfellows sort of thing this time of year when you are jostling for seeding in the conference and you need the Vikings to lose and they happen to be playing the Bears tonight. You are rooting for Chicago to fall into a win, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's where we find ourselves. Because, I mean, right now, as odd as it is, the Packers are closer to the 7 seed than they are the 5 seed right now. And they're 2 games behind the Minnesota Vikings. And they are just 1 game ahead of the Washington Commanders. They're closer to 7 than they are 5.
Yeah, need help.
Yeah, if you want to get to the 5 seed. Now, look, I mean, right now, if it ends up being Tampa Bay or the Rams, I mean, it doesn't really matter if you're 5-6. I kind of look at those teams in a similar light.
Interestingly, I saw Mike Golic Jr. on his show with Mike Golic saying that he thinks the Rams are the team that no one in the NFC wants to play because of how they have been playing recently, sort of clicking, if you will. Tampa Bay, though, they look very formidable right now. If you had to pick between those two games for the Packers to face, who would you prefer?
I think the Rams. I think I'd rather see the Rams.
Not very convicted.
No, because the Bucs put up 500 yards of offense yesterday. Baker Mayfield is playing. You want to talk about Jordan Love playing. Well, like Baker Mayfield's been kind of doing some of the same stuff. They've won their last handful of games in a row, and I did just see, maybe it's recency bias, seeing the Rams struggle the way they did on Thursday night against the 49ers and not really be able to get the ball into the end zone. Granted, they were coming off of a 44-point performance against what many people look like think is the best team in the NFL in the Buffalo Bills, but I look at those two teams very similar, that they are very dangerous offensively when their quarterbacks are in there. And Baker's been playing great. Stafford's been great when Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp are both healthy. Both those teams, I think, again, I put those in the Packers category of either one of them over the last 3 weeks could earn that title of hot team that nobody wants to play.
And I think the Packers, again, I don't want to race past what you just said. The Packers are one of those teams. When I heard Mike Golic Jr. say that the Rams are the team in the NFC that nobody wants to face, I was like, hold up. What about the Packers? Because again, I think that watching what they did last season late in the year and were able to string together those really impressive victories, I think this team is better. Again, I think there's an upgrade at the running back position in Josh Jacobs over Aaron Jones, even though Aaron Jones had an otherworldly end of the season last year. Jordan Love has another year of experience under his belt. That means he's not going to be making some of those mistakes that we have seen from him in the beginning half of the season. And let's take a moment to give him his flowers, guys. He has not been making the decision, the scratch-your-head decisions on the field. He has not been turning the ball over. He has not been wild, abandoned throw, although there was one time where I was like, throw the ball, Jordan! Get rid of the ball, please. So he has shown me that improvement. He has shown me that evolution that I want from my quarterback as the season goes on. I don't need them to be perfect yesterday in week whatever. What week are we in? 15, 16, 12, 11, 10? What are we in?
Last night was week 15.
Thank you. Week 15. I actually got it right then. Right?
Did I say 15? I have no idea. You said about seven numbers.
That's true.
You just chewed your way through the situation. One of them hit and you're like, yep.
I win.
I got it right.
Why do you win? I had a hand just like that. Yes. So week 15, I don't need them to be perfect in week 15. I need them to learn from the mistakes they make. The punt, fumble, punt, field goal, Timothy Chalamet, and not duplicate that against one of the last couple of teams they're facing in the regular season. That's what I need from the Green Bay Packers as they go on. It's more of a growth mindset than a why aren't you perfect in week 15 for me.
Yeah, look, if they were to go on the road right now, I don't think they're favored against the Buccaneers or Rams. I mean, they weren't favored last year against the Cowboys, so take that for what you will. But I felt they've got the opportunity to change that narrative. I felt they were more of that team that nobody wanted to play last year than they are this year. They've got the chance over the next three games to prove that wrong. And the biggest one that they'll have that opportunity is against the Vikings. If you go out there and play the way you did yesterday in the second half, like, you're not beating the Vikings. If you play the way you did even against the Lions, you're probably not beating the Vikings. You have to take it up another notch, which they have not shown that they are capable yet of.
I will tell you this. We got folks weighing in on the YouTube stream. Remember, you can always watch the show on YouTube saying, nope, not rooting for the Bears. Can't do it. Won't do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're rooting for the Vikings to lose. That's all we're doing.
You're rooting for an asteroid is what you're doing.
For the Vikings to lose.
You're rooting for the meteor is what you're doing. Sean in particular saying, nope, can't do it, not there yet. And then I have somebody reminding me, or informing me rather, on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. He famously is no longer intern Will. That from Justin in Middleton. Did I miss a promotion? Did this happen while I was gone?
I mean, it's been in the works, part-time Will.
So now he's part-time Will instead of intern
yes.
Will. Hey, congratulations.
Thank you. That's amazing.
Fantastic news. Very happy to hear that.
I appreciate it.
So we can't call you intern Will anymore is what you're telling
you
me?
You can if you want. My mom always asks me, she's like, what are they going to call you now? I'm like, I don't know. It might just stick with intern Will. It's too complicated.
Could be intern Will forever.
Yeah, that's what everyone knows me as.
Do you know
the
song? I know you're very young, but do you know the song Part-Time Lover?
I do not.
Well, when you called him part-time Will, that's immediately where my brain went. So maybe we could bring that back from break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We'll see if we can find that for you. 800-990-3776. Are you rooting for the Chicago Bears tonight in their game against... That was to the listeners, Gabe.
Well, no, I'm just letting them know. I'm letting them know what the answer is.
That was to the loyal
listeners. I'm letting them know that you don't have to root for the Bears. You just have to root for the Vikings to lose.
800-990-3776. We'll take a break. Be right back after this.
Fellas, listen up. We all know some of the best holiday gifts you can give is jewelry. Especially from the Jewelry Center. Gold necklaces, naturally mined or lab-grown diamonds for earrings, and, of course, engagement rings. And when I want to give a memorable gift, of course... I'm going to visit my friends, Dean Dean the Dancing Machine, at the Jewelry Center and take advantage of their deals. And right now, they've got a deal that even Santa can't beat. You can win a $2,000 shopping spree. Yeah, I didn't stutter. That's right. $2,000 shopping spree to the Jewelry Center by just registering online. That's right. $2,000 can be yours. Just register now through December 23rd at ESPNWisconsinContests.com for that $2,000 shopping spree to our friends at the Jewelry Center.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Do you like your pickles warm or cold?
Want my pickle a little warm.
Warm's good.
It's better than cold.
Cold you can be good, too.
Yeah, well, no. Cold shrinkage gets involved. Good. It's not great.
On 94.5 ESPN. A standout performance.
Love to the end zone. Watson spins his way for the touchdown.
A player who energized the team.
He goes to the air. It's intercepted. Jair Alexander high stepping for six.
It's time for the current electric superhero MVP of the game on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He's putting it in the air this time. It is touchdown!
Whether it's as small as a switch repair or as big as a whole home rewiring or even a generator to keep your lights on, call the superheroes from Current Electric. Go to callcurrent.com.
Third and four. Geno contracting pocket. He goes down. Edgerrin Cooper, who's been out of the lineup, comes back in and shows some of the talent.
That's right, Edgerrin Cooper, our current electric superhero of the game. Seven tackles, including a sack, two tackles for a loss, couple passes defended, couple quarterback hits, and an interception for Edgerrin Cooper, who is the current electric superhero MVP of the game.
So, one of the other things that we should discuss as the morning goes on is the pass rush, Gabe, because that is something you have been very critical of. And as we talk about the improvements and the progress that we are seeing from this version of the Green Bay Packers team, you cannot ignore the pass rush and their ability to. And it was not just Sam Howell, who is a shell of an NFL quarterback. It was when Geno Smith was in there as well. Were you impressed or pleased with the way the pass rush was getting home last night?
I mean, you can't help but be impressed. I mean, you walk away with seven sacks and the pressure rate and the quarterback hits and everything that they did, especially factoring that they only had three quarterback hits of Jared Goff 11 days ago. That's great. But again, because you only had three against Goff 11 days ago, like they have to go out there and get seven sacks every game from here on out. But you need to show me a little bit more consistency. You can't have the one sack, three QB hit, barely pressuring Jared Goff game and then followed up with this and then have another one. This, show me that you're turning the corner. This is encouraging. But again, you had a game like this before earlier in the season against Tennessee and then a huge lull in the middle of the season. That can't happen again. You have to take this momentum that you have and you have to capitalize on it and you have to continue to get pressure on the quarterback, whether it's New Orleans, whether it's Chicago, or whether it's against Minnesota in a couple weeks.
Let's hear from Matt LaFleur, who talked about his defense getting pressure on the QB last night.
I think that's the plan every week, right? It's just whether or not you're able to go out there and do it. Yeah, obviously, we're always trying to get pressure on the quarterback. That's the number one way to disrupt anything on offense. So, but our D-line came to play, and they did a hell of a job and just got constant pressure. And you never want to see a guy like that go down. I got a lot of respect for Geno and just watching him through his career, how he's reinvented himself, and he's playing really good football. I mean, you're not the second-rate passing leader in this game for no reason. I mean, they got a lot of good players over there, and he does a great job. So hate to see it for him and for them to go down. We never want to see that, and it's unfortunate, but that is part of our game.
And I think the other thing that it does is it adds momentum, right? Like, sometimes you need a game like that and the stretch like this to show that you can do it. because when there are doubters and detractors and all of this criticism of like, wow, the pass rush has really underwhelmed, underperformed this season, you have a game like this and you go, oh, yeah, you know, they lost their starting center in Olu Oluwatimi, which is so fun to say, by the way. Just is. And that obviously is going to make them less formidable, but you got to take advantage of it. Oh, and I think that's what you were saying is your frustration was when Geno Smith went out and Sam Howell steps in. You got to take advantage of that situation because you can still build momentum. You can still build confidence. You can take that into these tougher opponents and into a playoff run.
Yeah, and that's what they did. When a center goes out like that, and now you're facing an offensive line that's less than, take advantage. It's what they've done all season in these games. That's what they did. They were better than the Seahawks last night. They take advantage. You don't have to apologize for beating the Dolphins or the Cardinals. That's what you're supposed to do against teams you're better than. When you are going up against an inferior offensive line, whether it's because of injury or not, you take advantage of that. Now, hopefully, that you're comfortable enough, oh, hey, this worked, now I can try this, or I can do this. And hopefully that kind of builds off of what this team did. Because to Jason's point earlier, it's not like they were blitzing a ton. They simulated the pressure, backed out of it, and had guys rush from different angles. They've done that this season, and that certainly helped. But if you can get pressure with four, that is what makes, more than anything else, if you can get pressure with four, it what makes a Super Bowl run possible. It makes it easier to go on the road and win three straight games if you can get pressure with four. It opens up so many things for your defense.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Second hour of the show rolls on right after this.